It's very good to be out with all of you this evening to sing praises to our Lord. If you would go ahead and turn over to Luke 15 if you're not already there. Tonight we will be talking about a parable that Alex read for us just a moment ago that Christ told to the Pharisees. At the beginning of this chapter, in verse 1, it says, "Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near him to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" And this parable is part of the response that Christ gives to them. Beginning in verse 11, Christ replies, and he said, "A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me.' So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger? I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.' So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, 'Look, for so many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found.'" I think there are two very valuable lessons in this parable that we can learn from these two sons. And I want to look at the symbolism in this parable before we begin to look at the lessons themselves. In the parable, the two sons are representative of children of God. And as we are children of God, this parable is directed at us as much as it was directed at the Pharisees, who were also supposed to be children of God. And we have all fallen short, even as both of these sons have fallen short. And so the parable offers to us both an invitation and a warning. In the parable, separation from the Father means death. We see this both in verse 32, when the father says to his older son that the younger brother was dead when he was away. And again in verse 24, he says, "This son of mine was dead and has come to life again when he returns." We see that separation from the father in the parable is death, even in the son's experience as he is away from the father. For a brief period of time, the blessings that his father gave him, he uses to sin and is enthralled in his immoralities, but he soon finds himself destitute and comes close to starving to death before eventually returning to his father. We also see in this parable that the Father is our Lord. We see the Father forgive a penitent child without hesitation, even after everything the child had done against him, even at the cost of his other son choosing to become angry over this forgiveness. This is exactly what we see Jesus doing earlier in the chapter. We see him welcoming sinners, even though the Pharisees and the scribes become angry at his actions, even though these are the men who have committed the very atrocities he has come to end. And we ultimately see this in the cross when Christ pays the ultimate price so that any who wish to might become his sons and his daughters. So with this symbolism in mind, I want to first consider the firstborn son, which is the son who does not leave at the beginning. This is the son who stays behind to serve his father faithfully, while the other son leaves and is lost. But in the end of the parable, we see that reversed. The second-born son returns seeking forgiveness and is accepted back into the father's household. But the firstborn son becomes angry and refuses to accept him and to forgive him of his betrayal and his immorality. And as a result, refuses to enter into the house with the father. This is the warning and the question that this parable offers. To refuse to forgive those that the Lord has forgiven is to refuse to be with the Lord. To love God is to love our brother, and to not love our brother is to not love God. To not forgive those that the Lord forgives is to refuse to have any part of someone who is dwelling with God, which is to refuse to dwell with God himself, which we see the older son doing as he stands angrily outside his father's house. But there's also a question in the parable, because we don't really see the ending. The older son is confronted by the father, but he never responds, which means really this parable is a question posed both to the Pharisees in Christ's time and to us today, that when we are confronted by a sinner who may have hurt us, who may have betrayed us, even as the son did in the parable, but returns seeking forgiveness, we have the choice to forgive him and to enter in with him and continue to dwell with the Father. We also have a choice to deny our brother forgiveness, but in doing so, we would also become prodigals. We see the son in the parable is separated from the father in his anger. And in doing so is in danger of losing the fellowship that he had with his father while the other son was absent. We also see a lesson in the second born son. And his story is an invitation. We see at the beginning of the parable that the younger son is completely separated from the father as a result of his own actions. He leaves his father after insulting him by asking for his inheritance, essentially wishing to receive what he would receive when his father dies, before his father dies. Then he wastes his father's blessing on material things and does not even think of returning to his father until he is near starvation. And yet he is still forgiven when he returns. No matter what we may do, no matter what consequences we may suffer as a result of things that we have done, the Lord offers forgiveness to us freely, not because it is easy to forgive, but because Christ has died for each and every one of us to pay the price for our sins. If you are not a Christian tonight, the Father is waiting and watching for his lost son to come home so that he can run and embrace him and kiss him and welcome him back. If you are a Christian tonight and you have become lost and you wish for forgiveness and the help and prayers of your brothers and sisters, please come forward as we stand and sing.